A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello everyone, it is the Instant Match Reaction Show. Liverpool just drawn 1-1 with Chelsea. We've done our usual raft of live post-match content. Chris Pajak joins me on the sofa. Not in a weird way.
Not now.
Yet. Chris, it was very much, and it's funny, I've seen this a few rather salty opposition fans in comments already. You know, we've celebrated a draw.
Yep, that's what you do.
Celebrated a point. There's a few people trying to suggest that it was an undeserved. I completely disagree. I thought we more than deserved a point out of that game.
I think I said on my match reaction, we deserve to win, we deserve to draw, and we deserve to lose today. for all different types of things. And yeah. I stand by that, to be honest with you, because we crafted enough opportunities to win the game outright. You know, the Firmino header, the Mane chance, the Shaqiri chance, Salah's two decent chances as well, and the one-on-one. I'd forgotten about that one as well. So we did enough to win the game, but then defensively, I don't think we were particularly great today. Mm-hmm. I think our fullbacks probably let us down a little bit at times because of the players they were coming up against.
Well, it's mad because the fullbacks were so desperately lacking them in the midweek game. And I'd said, you know, if we'd had Robbo and Trent playing in that, I think we'd have been a lot more comfortable. I think we'd have won it more comfortably in midweek, as opposed to, you know, what happened. And yet they probably had Andy Robertson probably. It's probably one of his poorest games for Liverpool, and more just in the defensive sense. You know, we've seen how much he can do going forward. I don't think he was afforded the opportunity to do too much good work until toward the back end of the game. And the amount of times he just wasn't quite switched on enough. There's that one ball from David Luiz, I think it is, over to Willian, and the straight through on goal because his positioning's not what it could be.
No, they're front foot players, aren't they? And they want to be able to get onto the attack. And what's made them so good is picking the right moments to go and do that. And today there was a couple of times when Robertson and Trent bombed on and we were caught lacking in defence because of that. And, you know, they'll learn from that. It's not every week you come up against Eden Hazard. Thank fuck, just twice this week.
Just twice.
But it's difficult. You know, Eden Hazard is an unbelievable player. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it felt to me like our fullbacks weren't able to play their natural game. They were always thinking about what's going on behind them. And especially Trent, I felt that left-hand side, Hazard and Alonso. Certainly first half, Alonso was bombing on a bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they had the goal lead in the second half, so he didn't tend to bomb on as much second half. But it's always in the back of your mind. And as soon as you're thinking about what's behind you're not playing your natural game. It just takes one moment for you to think about something when everything's flowing, you're not thinking, you're in the moment, aren't you?
It felt like, because I've seen, again, look, very early into Sarri's tenure, this is not Sarri ball, you know what I mean? This is
worrying that, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. But what it felt like, we've dished out a few of these performances under Jurgen Klopp in the last three seasons, and where we've gone up against a team that's more established and more settled in what they do, a team that's, you know, should be, by all accounts, a bit further, a step or two further along, or what have you. And we've game planned them, and a combination of our best players performing really well, plus a nice little game. And I think the Trent thing was a good example of that. Was if Eden Hazard had been toe-to-toe as a winger against Trent, we've seen him handle players like that. You know, if they just said to Eden Hazard, go and stay wide, and then your job is to 1v1 versus Trent, take him on and get and win the game for us. You know, Sané's tried that and not really worked off for it. You know, a bit of Ronaldo kind of tried that. We've seen really good players come up against it. Whereas I think the way Hazard played and the way they used him was a very tactical game plan. And that was, you kind of mentioned it a touch, is to draw Trent out of position. you know, little spins, little moves. He became more of a link man that caused us problems down that side. And
very similar to how we use Mane, actually, isn't it? It's not an out and out left winger. It's a guy who's going to drift in and move along that front line. And that's why it's so difficult to stop our front three. And I think what really stood out for me today with Chelsea's movement and the way they got Hazard into space was very much like what Manchester City do. It's these lateral passes, but it's the speed of the pass that gets you out. You know, you draw. Now, you think back to those games against Manchester City. They draw you down the right-hand side, and then two passes later, it was to Sane on the left in loads of space. And that's what they were doing to Trent. And what it means is he has to come in. He has to stay compact with the rest of the back four, but then he's got 30 yards to cover to get to the winger when he's got the ball. And then he's cutting inside and drawing him out. And then those 1-2s happen, which is what happened for the first goal, isn't it? I don't know who played the ball. Was it Jorginho? Was it a centre-back into Hazard, maybe it was Luis, plays that ball, Trent goes in, is sucked to the ball a little bit because he thinks he's got a chance at closing down Kovacic, and then Hazard's gone. And we all do it in Pro Evo. If you don't make that run instantly, you can't catch up. And it's Eden Hazard, he's one of the fastest players on the pitch, and he does superb to get their goal.
This is the thing where we were so close to catching them out. You know, we put them under pressure. But this is the difference. Some teams adapt well to the managers. You know, we've seen it where you can come in and you can be a bit freed or whatever, or a new manager. The players just suit. He's got world class players there. They're not far removed from being champions as well. You know, if you looked at them in isolation, you'd be looking at Chelsea going, well, the Europa League side there. Chelsea defy so much logic when it comes to football. Like, you never understand how they don't end up being title challengers season in, season out. And he's clearly got the players there to play that person. That, you know, they're not there yet. And the good thing is, in some regards, is that we won't have to play them at Stamford Bridge again. You know, that's a big one to get out the way. And I think the way I was pleasing seeing some of the Twitter reactions to this, and I completely agree with this, and I think I might have said this in my individual match reaction, was a point away from home to Chelsea, in the build to it, look, because we've won every game in the league, we're going, oh yeah, well, go there and win. In the grand scheme of things, if you're going to plan your fixtures out, you take a draw.
Look at the last two games, two of the last three games in the Premier League, and you're telling me we're Liverpool are going to get 4 points from Tottenham away and Chelsea away? Yeah. Mate, I'm biting your hand off for that. So it's not just the individual game I'd have taken a draw going in. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that we've got two of our hardest away games. And then when you couple that with Leicester and Crystal Palace away from home, to only drop 2 points out of those four away games, I think is an absolutely brilliant point haul from that. But, you know, Chelsea deserve a lot of credit. They obviously have adapted, as you say, really, really well to Sarri. But let's not forget that this Liverpool side has shown us something else again.
Yeah.
You know, this Liverpool side, I think in years gone by, even under Jurgen Klopp, lose that game of football. Yeah. But Jurgen Klopp deserves so much credit for the substitutions that he makes. That Salah one is the hardest substitution Jurgen Klopp's going to make this season.
Yeah.
Because you're taking off the man who's been involved in 3-4 great opportunities. He's your talismanic forward.
There must be a temptation there as well to just go do what we did against Southampton and go, right, we're going for this. And you bring him on for a midfielder.
And you
just go, right, balls to it, we can lose this 2-0. But I don't think, I think that was an interesting balance there, because the odd goal is going to make a big difference this season, I think. And, you know, you don't want to totally, there's no need to go totally gung-ho in there. But what he's done, you're dead right, he's brought on a guy to influence the game. In fact, he's brought two guys on to influence the game. Well, yeah, go ahead.
All three substitutions were spot on. I think, first of all, the fact that he brings Shaqiri on with about 25 minutes to go plus stoppage time, that's a big decision when you're taking Salah off.
Yeah.
Especially as he's had success, maybe not second half, but first half he had a lot of success getting into good areas of the pitch. Then you bring Keita on, you reinvigorate that midfield, you get a little bit of legs in there, and you get a lad on the ball who's different to everything else, you know, who can run with the ball at his feet and take on a couple of players. That added a new dynamic that Chelsea hadn't had to think about or deal with throughout the game. And then finally, you bring a guy in who can shoot the ball in the net from 25 yards.
Yeah.
I wish he'd have just done that earlier, to be honest.
No,
because if he'd have had two shots, he might have scored two goals.
Well, let's just do that every time. This is the thing, with Daniel Sturridge, let's talk Daniel Sturridge. I think we both dedicated the vast majority of our match reactions by the sound of it to that. Yeah, pretty much me too. But I think he's worth discussing more, and we'll do more on the final word once we've had a chance to properly analyse his performance.
Well, it's two touches.
In depth, in detail.
Okay, but I'm game on that.
Absolutely. He, What I said, and I don't know what you said on him, was that, and it goes back to the Shaqiri stuff and actually Keita for that matter, this time last season, or last season, the players that we were bringing in are Dom Solanke and Danny Ings.
Lallana.
You know what I mean? Lallana, you know, and these are just not guys who score goals. We're bringing in now Daniel Sturridge, and look, the issue with Daniel Sturridge has never been his quality, it's always been his fitness, and to some extent, questionably, whether he was prepared to play through the playing barrier or whatever.
Or did he see the system?
Yeah, definitely. But he's come on there as a 29-year-old guy who, had his legs not fallen off, he would be had been a 20-goal a season guy for the last five seasons. You know, he's that good.
He'd have been a guy who Gareth Southgate would have to change his formation around, you know, because there'd be question marks over how do you get Sturridge and Kane in the side at the same time as his career gone the way that we all thought it could go. But it must be so frustrating for Daniel. But I was talking about it on my match reaction. When was the last time he kicked the ball? Was it in the warm-ups before the game? Because I can't imagine that he'd have been out at half-time on the pitch.
It'd be interesting.
You know, it's something you said maybe a year, maybe 2 years ago about how, like, football, for everything that it's got in the world, has the worst warming up on the sidelines for their players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cyclists get to ride on their bike, keep their legs warm.
Pitchers in baseball get an entire area of the stadium dedicated just to them throwing a ball.
Yeah.
And there's literally none of the substitutes get to kick a ball until they enter the field of play, basically.
Which Daniel is the only person in our squad.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You could have scored that
but
goal.
But that's the point I'm making is that Liverpool have got senior, top quality lads, because Dom Solanke has the ability to.
Dom Solanke.
He has the ability to. He's great ability, great natural talent, I think, and he can score goals on it. And whether he'll be a top Liverpool player, I don't know. But I think he's a good player. But he's a kid.
I agree with that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And so you should. Well, he's not really a kid, is he? So we're both wrong. But he's a young lad. And But what we're dropping in there is a guy who's been there and done it, and that composure at those pivotal moments in football matches, because there's it would have been, and to be fair, I think it might be Kante who doesn't close him down, which is mental, but he's been given that time and space, and he's not panicked. He's took his touch.
He's
picked the spot. He's gone, I tried this in the week and I was close, I'm going to do this again.
Maybe that was the last time he touched the ball.
Probably not. and he scores an absolute worldie, and this is a thing this is what we've got that's different this season. I think Man City have still got a little bit more depth in that area. I think they've probably got, you can put Sterling, Aguero, and let's say Sane up front, and then you've still got
Silva,
Mahrez, and Bernardo Silva, and Gabriel Jesus. So they've got a little bit more depth there. But the depth we've added, we've seen hints of it already this season. Because Daniel Sturridge, I think I had a quick look into it, I got my calculator out, is averaging a goal every 46 minutes on the pitch for us at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's scored two in his last 10 minutes or something, hasn't he?
Yeah.
something, I don't know, it's ridiculous like that, but that's the difference. That is the difference. And not only that, when you look at the bench as a whole, we've got players on there if had the game gone a different way, we can alter it. It's not just we can go and throw bodies on to win a game. We've got bodies on who can see out a game as well. And that tells you all you need to know about this squad now is that it's perfectly sort of positioned. Yes, Manchester City probably do have a little bit more than us. But this side now and what we did against Chelsea tonight was proved that without the front three, we can go away from home to another top team in this division and still eke out a result.
Yeah.
And that is the difference between this season and last season for me.
But the thing about it is, and this is another point I referenced on my own one, is that this time last year, everyone was complaining because Liverpool were drawing too many games we weren't being clinical, and everyone saw that as a fundamental problem. Well, we're doing that and we're still getting important points for a start this season. But it's similar to last season. We're talking about eking out a result in a game where Mo Salah went round the goalkeeper and had one cleared off the line. Bobby Firmino has a header cleared off the line by the defender. Jadon Shaqiri puts basically an open goal wide in that.
And the Mane save and all that. I can
match up the goalkeeper saves and I can kind of scratch them off because our goalkeeper made a couple of saves. But we had at least two, I think, absolute gilt-edged opportunities in there that on another day, just going, the defender reacts a touch slower, or you just angle your shot ever so slightly differently, and they are goals. And we went away to Stamford Bridge and had more shots on target than Chelsea.
We had more shots on target.
The keeper made
more saves. But we both interestingly created three big chances and we both missed three big chances. And I think that's down to the two goalkeepers, certainly. Mm-hmm. Alisson for us was absolutely superb in those one-on-one situations.
And don't forget, Steve McManaman didn't even count Jadon Shaqiri's one as an attempt on goal.
Well, I'll tell you what, Opta did.
Opta literally attempted to hit to the goal.
Yeah, I think they classed that as an off-target, a shot off-target. But, you know, Maka can do what he wants. He's won a couple of European Cups and scored in the final.
Yeah,
and he's won the Coca-Cola Cup on his own in 1995, so I'm totally fine with whatever Maka wants to do. But I will disagree with you
you're
on that.
You're still
wrong,
mate. Yeah, you're still wrong. As many European Cups, it's still an attempt.
He doesn't think Dom Solanke's a kid, that's for sure. And that, he might be right on that one. Yeah. But, look, the thing for me about that game is Liverpool's midfield wasn't quite right, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like Jorginho, although I didn't think he was a massive part of the game and maybe a touch overhyped from what we've seen earlier on in the season, Kovacic and their other midfield, who I've managed to forget again, can't I? Again, did that before.
I couldn't remember his name after the match in midweek. Weird.
Yeah, so the
really, he was the best. He was incredible today as well.
Those three had the better of our three in midfield.
Yeah.
And what we ended up doing, I think we crossed the ball in 20 times in this game. And it wasn't quite right, but that were the opportunities that Chelsea were giving us. And I thought they defended really well. Now, again, I do the stats and tactics show, so I'll look into all that type of stuff. And I had a little look, and 46% of our shots were from outside the area. And that's something that Chelsea did really well against us, just keeping us shooting from outside the area. We didn't work many opportunities. In fact, they worked more shots from inside the area than we did.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think this Liverpool side has been trying to do for a long time, work opportunities in front of the sticks inside the 18-yard box, because you've got a better chance of scoring.
Yeah.
So that Chelsea side defended really well, and the midfield battle was where it was won, I think, for Chelsea. But even then, and with Mo Salah not playing at his best, and Roberto Firmino not playing very well, and Sadio Mane having an off game as well, we still come away with a point.
Yeah, that's it. You wouldn't say that any of our top players are in peak form, whereas you can say about them, Eden Hazard's in as good a form as he's probably
top scorer in the league with Aguero, I think, at the moment, with five.
And he's fantastic, isn't he? And he had a good game. And as I say, you know, we managed to come out the other side of it relatively unscathed. No, I was pleased, all told. And it's weird because we talk about this all the time. The psychological impact of scoring second in a draw always means you come out of it.
Well.
Exactly. Always means you come out of that upbeat. And that's what it was. You know, if we'd lost that one, it felt we were losing that. That felt like the time was dripping away. We had Jadon Shaqiri misses that chance, and you look at that and go, there you go. We've lost that. There's the chance. You're given this opportunity. We had the chance to capitalise. We've missed it. It's going to be one of them days. And the fact that you then go and get that equaliser in such stunning fashion as well, particularly with a substitute, everything about it plays into. These are one of the beautiful things about football. And look, the shoe's on the other foot. They came to Anfield last year. Willian scored a massively deflected, fluky goal that flew into the top bin. And look, their fans were in absolute raptures over it. I've seen Everton snatch draws against us. Phil Jagielka scoring worldies, or we're not even a winner, whatever. You know, the point is that I was psychologically prepared for a defeat there with those last few minutes. So it's not a win. And when I say it feels like a win, it doesn't really feel like a win, because, you know, a win, I'd have been looking at the league table and go, which we can't do now, because, you know, obviously we know we're now back on level pegging on points, which City anyway. But what it does is it means that we go into that Man City game next week, Chris, knowing that the only result that doesn't keep us on level, you know, doesn't keep us bang up there, is a defeat to Man City. You can stay, if you draw with Man City at home, which is a very real possibility, you stay level on the top. It's only down to goal difference. And realistically, if you told me that this run of fixtures that we all discussed 6 weeks ago or a month ago or whatever, if you'd said we were still going to be roughly joint top at the end of that, or had the opportunity to do that,
I think so. I'm a natural pessimist, aren't I? I think, and so I look at it and go, well, if we get beat at Man City, we're still only 3 points behind them.
Yeah.
And that's a decent place when you've played Tottenham, when you've played Chelsea, and when you've played Manchester City in the league. And, you know, not to focus too much about the next games, but the lads have worked bloody hard today.
Yeah.
And they've been forced to work bloody hard by a really good Chelsea side, much better than I thought. Mm-hmm. That was probably one of their, from what I've seen, that was one of their better performances this season. But to be in with a shout, and you know, we could go 3 points ahead of Manchester City after this run of fixtures. Now, if that was to happen, the world stands up and takes notice, because you look at those fixtures, Tottenham away, Chelsea away, the Paris Saint-Germain, Napoli away.
The trick is not to focus on this result, even though if you did, it's fine, because a draw is a good result, as I say, away to a very good Chelsea side. It's that we've played ourselves into this position, that we've played ourselves into position after, what, 8 games of the season, but after 9, we could either be 3 points clear at the top of the Premier League or only 3 points behind the league leaders. That's absolutely sound. So you've got to look at the context of what we've done so far. You've got to look at it as a whole, and when you do that, absolutely sound. And as I jokingly said on my Match Reaction, you know, Chelsea, for all their wondrous thing, look at the form table now. It's 4 wins and 2 draws now. It's not a favourable form table for for the boys from the bridge. Listen, we're going to be analysing this in loads more depth and detail on Monday on the final word show on the RedmenTV.com. What I've been doing since we started doing the show is taking comments and questions from yourself. So more interestingly, because we can't cover everything here, we're going to go away and watch the match again, look at some of the key points, get our heads on it, see some more reaction. So if there's things from the match we didn't discuss that you want us to discuss, put it in the comments below, and questions and thoughts on the match in general, and I'll pull as many of them into it as possible. You can get that show, as I say, on the RedmenTV.com. It's free for the first month. You can go and check it out. If you like what we're doing here, it's going to be a couple more of us in this studio. I say, getting into the nitty gritty and the bones of it. In addition to that, Chris is going to be doing stats and tactics, again, looking far more in depth. If you're into the stats and tactics, Chris has got that covered, and some more lighthearted stuff as well. Go check it out. And if you're enjoying it from watching these shows, let people know in the comments. It always helps. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It has.
Oh, who's your man of the match?
Daniel Sturridge.
Go ahead, why not? Oh, a bit of Studge. Who was your Man of the Match? Comments below as well. The Man of the Match podcast is on Monday as well. There you go. Tom gives us a nod. That's his show. Other than that, thanks for watching, and we'll see it all soon. Ta-da.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.